This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
The myth, the legend that is Omar Kelly, baby. How you doing, man? You too serious, bro. Give me a smile.
I'm great, man. I'm watching. I'm on Twitter watching Dolphins fans bitch about something, as they do.
Like what? What are they bitching?
It's now the Tua arm and the throw, and it's like,
terrific throw. It was accurate. It was beautiful. It was completed. It was a play. He made a play. I don't care how it looks. He made a play. That's it, bro. That's all that counts.
Biggest throw of his career. And it's like, yeah. You know, but, you know, it. How far can he throw? Can he really only throw 53 yards? Like, okay. Like, how far do you think every quarterback can throw? Maybe 60, 65?
Like, once every 8 years, you actually get to throw a 60-yard pass. More often than not, it's a 25-yard pass that the receiver takes at 70 yards. Who are we kidding here, dude? I mean, it's not like you're sitting back there waiting for a guy to run 70 yards for you to then unload. Come on.
I've always said accuracy, anticipation, pocket presence over everything else.
That's it.
He's got that. Do I wish the arm was stronger? Yes, I do. Do I wish he was bigger and more durable? Yes, I do. Do I wish he could run like Justin Herbert? Yes, I do. But I take accuracy, anticipation, pocket presence. That's all day.
And Joe Montana and Drew Brees couldn't do all those things either. Okay? They didn't have cannons. They couldn't run like Justin Herbert. They weren't built like Justin Herbert or Cam Newton or Dan Marino or Peyton Manning. They weren't. But somehow or another, they're in the Hall of Fame, bro. So chill out, relax, bro. If you're smart, you know, the key with Tua, build a G-damn line and get him a running game. And guess what? He'll be even better, and you'll keep him upright. You'll keep him alive.
Maybe some healthy receivers. Maybe some durable receivers.
Yeah, definitely. That would definitely help.
How about playing
your durable receivers like Mac Hollins?
Bro, we need to just let that go. We both need to just let that go. Like I have beaten that drum so long for a month, I've let it go. It's they're not going to play him other than a handful of plays. All they care is that he's just a decoy out there or a red zone threat. They have and it's to their defense, this is how Flores coaches, and he gets it from the Patriots. Guys have defined roles.
Right.
All 47 players active have defined roles. They have defined packages. If we're like Brennan Scarlett, he's not better than Jalen Phillips. Not on his best days, he better than Jalen Phillips, but he has a package, and that is his package. And if we're going to start the game or we're going to use that package against the Jets, then he's going to start and he's going to play more snaps. And it's really just about what package you're in, where they're comfortable with you. And unfortunately for Mac Hollins, they have a package for him. They are not interested in growing his package, and it is what it is. If you can't, me and you, we can't come to terms with the fact that he doesn't have more packages. And they're like, I don't care. And we're like, he continues to make plays. Every time he's on the damn field, he should be on the damn field more. And they're like, well, he's making plays in his packages that we have for him. And it's a never-ending cycle with this team. They are a package-based team. That's been how they are from day one. It's how Flores has been birthed in this league. And it will never change.
Yeah, it's a shame. I'd rather you just play your best players and your most reliable players, too, which that's the thing I love about Mac Hollins, man. You can just count on that kid every single time, man. It's fun to see. Overall, now, when you start to look at the schedule, and I'm not a big fan of playing the schedule game, but yesterday they struggled even with New York for a certain amount of time.
They'll struggle with whoever they're playing.
Right, exactly. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the beauty of the schedule that's upcoming is the opportunities are there for the Dolphins, at least. That's the good thing, that if you look at that schedule.
Opportunity to get to 500.
I don't care, bro. Winning is winning. That's
Yeah.
Omar, do you want to cover losing or do you want to cover winning?
No, I want to cover winning. Yeah. No
okay.
Question.
So that's my point.
My thing is, let's focus on getting to 500. Let's focus on, and from their standpoint, they're all focused on saving jobs and getting to 500. And
well, that's their problem. I'm just saying, as the team, they have an opportunity to win some games here. And improve along the way, because they are improving slowly but surely a little bit. So at least
are they playing bad teams? And that's the question I have to ask myself, because I don't know. Like, the Jets are not a good team.
I know, but if you're consistently winning, I have to give you credit for that, Omar.
Oh, I'm giving you credit for winning, but you're
by the way, the good team you played, you thoroughly embarrassed.
That's true.
Okay.
Maybe
you played down to your competition a little bit with Houston and the Jets, and then you got psyched up for the Ravens.
Play to the level of your competition.
But at least they won, which, you know, you could play to the level of the competition and then lose to the Raiders.
I made this argument to you a couple weeks ago. If you say you get that Will Fuller PI call, you're at the one, you score, game over, and you don't botch it against Jacksonville, where your coach just gets thoroughly out coach outsmarted and they win the game.
Yeah,
you would be what would they be now?
They would be 6-5.
They'd be 6-5. We'd be like, good team. Right? Yes?
Yeah. Well, by the way, I was looking at it this morning. After everything that's said and done, Justin Herbert and the Chargers have 2 more wins more than the Dolphins. That's it.
Man, did he look good last night.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he does. Well, but again, he drops back, and that pocket is clean, dude. There's so much space between him and the line. I can put a bed down and have sex with my wife in between. You know what I'm saying?
Don't do that.
I'm just saying, there's just a lot of space.
Don't do that. That 90 rushing, he evaded a lot of pressure. He escaped the pot. Like 90 rushing yards, 382. I didn't even finish the game. I didn't know how it ended. I literally looked it up while he played well last time.
But they have such a good team. And Keenan Allen is a freaking monster, dude. We don't have anybody like that on our team here, unfortunately. We don't have a Keenan Allen.
You had one in Jarvis Landry. You let it go.
No, don't even insult Keenan Allen like that. Are you out of your mind? Keenan Allen is an elite receiver. Jarvis Landry moves chains. Keenan Allen is a star, bro. You compare him to, you know, top-notch receivers.
Hold on, wait. Jarvis isn't a star?
Not like Keenan Allen. He's a notch under Keenan Allen. Trust me. No. Keenan Allen carries offenses, dude. He's a legit number one.
And Jarvis Landry hasn't carried. Jarvis hasn't carried offenses?
No, not the sorry-ass Dolphins. That's not an offense. I'm talking about real offenses. Keenan Allen is like Mark Clayton. You know what I'm saying? Keenan Allen is a star receiver. Keenan Allen is having a bad season. Who?
Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, of course he is.
I didn't even know that.
You don't watch anything but the Dolphins because you're a beat guy, dude. You're too busy watching the Dolphins.
I get to watch the league.
That's why I gamble in the whole league, because I watch the whole damn league. That's the difference. I go home and watch these stupid games after that. Yeah, man. But anyways, Jarvis is a number two. On his best day, probably more of a slot, a beast of a slot. But Keenan Allen is a star receiver, bro. I mean, we don't have anything like that here on this team. Nobody is like that, unfortunately. You know, he's, you know what he is? Do you put Jarvis Landry in Stephon Diggs category?
Jarvis Landry and Stephon Diggs. Hell no. But okay. Stephon Diggs is a top receiver.
This is why I know you don't watch Keenan Allen a lot, because Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen are the same guys. They're number one monsters. They are the guys that every defensive coordinator has to scheme against every single time. Okay, where's Keenan Allen going to be? We got to double this mother. We're talking about perennial Pro Bowler, man. We're talking about a perennial all-star, all-pro.
Jarvis is a perennial Pro Bowler, but yes.
You're right. That's why I went to all-pro. I'm sorry.
Okay, perennial all-pro. Okay,
yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah. He's one of those kind of cats. We don't have
the
that
number.
Kind of
the
cats.
Numbers look very similar, but yes, I'm not disrespecting Keenan Allen. I think he's very
awesome.
Good player.
He's awesome.
He's got a lot of the dog. He catches everything. He's got a lot of the intangibles that it takes to win. Question is, you know, I don't know if you put insert Keenan Allen on this team and they're drastically better.
Oh, not drastically, but they may have an extra win or two just because that's the kind of dude that you just throw it to him and he's going to catch everything in sight. I mean, he made a catch last night that was just absolutely sick, man. And again, toughness he brings to the table. And he's had his share of injuries too. But overall, man, Keenan Allen is a freaking monster, dude.
But that's Jarvis. Jarvis is a toughness too.
But the athleticism level, it's at another level with Keenan, bro. Up in the air and all that kind of stuff. It's just, I'm telling you, you need to watch
him
more.
Up in the air catches too.
No, like, not like this guy. You're not. No, seriously, Omar, I love you, but you're not watching really Keenan Allen. You cannot. If you didn't put Stephon Diggs in his category, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs are the same kind of monsters. They're monsters. They're like, you know, an AJ Brown in Tennessee. They are, you know, they're elite receivers. They are those kind of dudes. A few of those guys that are around the league, Devonta Adams, that kind of guy. That's what Keenan Allen is. He's one of those type of dudes. What's the name of the monster in Seattle? Metcalf. You know, that's what Keenan Allen is. He's one of those kind of guys, is my point. Mm-hmm. So I would love to have him here with the Dolphins. Oh man, that would be absolutely fantastic. All right, O-line, no sacks. Were you able to look at the tape again? I don't know if you
not
had
yet.
Not yet. What were your thoughts overnight after you got to marinate a little bit more?
To his pocket presence. That's all to him.
Yeah.
But I knew that, you know, I wrote a column primarily about Tua and what we saw against the Jets, which are a bad defense. But this is about as good as it's going to get for you as a team. Like, if you think about the offensive execution, this is as good as it gets. Like what you saw against the Jets, 24 points get to the league average. Let me bring up my column so we can cite 380 something yards, 115 yards rushing. Okay, let me get 388 yards, 8 of 14 on third downs, 2 of 4 in the red zone, 2 of 2 goal going in. And when I say 2 of 4, 2 touchdowns and 4 red zone opportunities, 2 touchdowns and goal line opportunities, 24 points getting to the league average, to 108 quarterback rating. What'd they rush for?
They did good, man.
Yeah, no. Yeah, 115 rushing yards, even though it was 3.5 yards per carry. You know, they running a four-minute offense, eating up 6 minutes. They call it a four-minute offense because the hope is that they can eat up 4 minutes of game clock. They ate up six. You know.
I remember you asked them about that long drive. Yeah.
Yeah, I initially tweeted out, like, what the hell are you doing? In this situation, there are 8 minutes left and you're running your four-minute offense. No, you need to try to score again other than try to sit here and kill clock. And lo and behold, I was wrong. Their four-minute offense actually worked. Their line didn't bitch up. And I was just like, hold up. This is the team that I thought we would be seeing this season. Like, okay. Offensively, they, you know, even though they got nothing but fragile, injury-plagued receivers, guys showed up and played. You know, we know we can count on Jalen Waddle, but Mac showed up. Durham Smythe showed up. Mike Gesicki played well.
All those guys normally show. Those guys you just talked about are the only guys you normally can count on, actually. you know?
Yeah, but you add a running game to it, and this is the best. It's not going to get better than that. Like, if it does, then we're like, holy hell. Like, what do we have here? But Tua throwing the longest pass of his NFL career. Like, if you watch that as a Dolphin fan and you turn your nose up to, oh, they only scored 24 points, or, oh, you know, found something to complain about, or, oh, it was only the Jets and the Jets defense sucks. Like, you have problems that are much bigger than this team's record or how they play or their struggles, because there was nothing to complain about. Like, no, that was a good offensive performance. I would say the defense did perform well.
And a road win, by the way, which, again, I know the Jets aren't a good team. But the Dolphins aren't a great team either, and they still went on the road.
And the Jets have beaten good teams.
Yeah, and the Jets have beaten good teams. Yeah, exactly. So to go on the road and win this game, that's another thing that I'm impressed with. I like what I saw from them. This week, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, the way the secondary is playing, this is a good opportunity also. I think they should be able to take advantage here.
Yeah, you got to hope you get Brandon Jones. That's another guy I got to add to my list of guys who got injured that we got to closely monitor.
Love that kid. Love that kid.
I know you do.
Big fan of him.
Made plays. Got a big. I thought that hit would have put Flacco out the game.
Yeah, that kid, that's what I like about him. He has a knack for making both safeties. Miami found themselves two safeties. I just have a knack for being around the ball and making plays and just making things happen, man. It's a lot of fun to watch those two guys play. It's a really nice young. I don't think we've seen a young safety tandem like this for the Dolphins in a long, long time.
You right? made me think.
Yeah,
I remember the last good one was Ronaldo Hill and Jeremiah Bell. You can come up with a better one.
No, I'd have to go deeper to go back to Walker and what was the other kid's name in the Jimmy Johnson era, right before they got Brock Marion. They had Walker and they had another kid there.
I was thinking
Brad. Or I could go also to Jarvis and what's it called? Oh, God, now I'm brain farting. Somebody will help me out there with Jarvis back in the day. It was Jarvis. It was weren't they both Florida Gators? I think they were both.
I don't even remember Jarvis. Yeah.
No, this is a long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago.
There it is, Jarvis Williams and Lewis Oliver. Thank you, Jarvis Williams and Lewis Oliver. That's probably where I have to go back and go with two young guys that we were excited with. I mean, we love Louis. Louis wasn't a very good cover guy. He was a thumper. He would hit the hell out of you. But if he missed a hit, you were going to get a play on Louis. You know what I mean? But maybe we'll go back to then. Good job, by the way, whoever that was. Duck Dog, nice job by you, sir. Thank you. One more thing before I let you go. We see the scripted play at the beginning of the game, and it's beautiful. Everything works out. We saw one of the players come to the podium and talk about how, you know, it's like we know what's coming, and it's scripted. We make no mistakes and all that. But then when it's off script, it becomes a whole different ball game, and it becomes a mission. And to be honest, Omar, to me, it becomes a real indictment on your coaching staff that, yeah, you can do what you prepared for all week. And then after that,
you have to make adjustments.
And you're playing, you should have coached your players up to adjust with you. That's part of the game. And yet we're not seeing that, Omar. And then, so there's this, it's a peak and then there's this valley.
It comes down to it's something that's very clear and evident, and we talked about it today in the press conferences that I'm tardy for your show because they decided to have press conferences at 10 a.m. at the last minute. And
you know, all good. We're digital, baby. We adjust. It's all good.
They have been practicing better at a higher level since the midseason, since they went to 1-7, and it has been, and Flores, Elijah Campbell, will probably never speak to ever again because he gave up the goods, was basically said, Flo really sat them down and said, we're going to play a completely different style and brand of football, and we're going to change up everything we're doing, and we're going to practice harder, and we're going to turn this around, and we believe in you, and blah, blah, blah. It was a team meeting and team speech. And it was a buy-in. It was basically buy-in, just like you and these Bitcoins. And you're going to give me, after Christmas, you're going to just tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. Just tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. Okay? But I'm going to buy in. You're going to be my Brian Flores. But
I wish you would have done it over the last year since I've been talking about it, because you'd be up a lot of money right now.
I'm scared, but I need to get over the fear.
It's education first. Education is what overcomes the fear. That's all it is. It is intimidating, because it was intimidating for me. Same thing. But once you get in on it and you understand it and you read up on it and you study and you follow it, then you'll understand everything that's going on, and then you'll have a good feel for it. You know what I'm saying? That's what right now, that's what I feel like I have, is a really good feel for what's going on in the crypto market.
So they have been practicing at a higher level than what they had previously been practicing, and they never gave up. They never panicked. That, and I got to give Flores a lot of credit, because keeping a team that loses seven straight games together, and keeping them believing and keeping them buying in and keeping them from finger pointing. Hell, the organization was finger pointing.
Second time he does it, by the way.
This is the third.
Second time he loses seven games in a row and is not losing the team, is my point.
Yeah, first time it's not that hard.
It's still seven games, bro. You're still every week that you're preparing and the results don't come, dude. You've been around pro players. Now, he was lucky; they were all young, so that's all different.
Yeah.
Stay hungry dogs.
Yeah, I think this is different. This is a whole different animal here, because you know, I would argue with you, 2019, that's Fitz. I'm sorry, I'm not giving Flo credit for that.
I got you.
That's Fitz. Fitz got you at least four of the five wins you have this season. And I want
to, by the way, you still had to play the kind of defense that allows Fitz to win the game.
True. Fair. Okay. That's fair. That's true and accurate.
It's still a team game.
But Fitz put the team on his shoulders and won the game.
It's fine. I get you.
And in this situation, it's not like Tua's putting the team on his shoulders, because they did credit this as a fourth quarter win for Tua, because they were tied in the fourth quarter, and Tua delivered this is one of three fourth quarter wins in his career. And it's kind of watered down, but I'll take it. I'm sure he'll take it, but it's not like Tua is carrying the team, but Tua does make the team better. The drives, the efficiency, as I said to you yesterday, and I will continue to say this, remove Buffalo from the equation of all his games. Just take Buffalo out. Let's just take Buffalo out and say, okay.
Every quarterback in the whole season says, hey, can I take that Buffalo game out of my whole thing?
Yeah. Just take
Buffalo out. By the way, the coach that we played yesterday benched the guy after Buffalo and started Flacco's. You know what I'm saying? Mike White had a great outing a couple weeks back, and then last week he plays against Buffalo and looks like dog crap, because that happens to a lot of people who play Buffalo, and the coach would say, oh, no, yeah, he must be the problem. No, dude, it's Buffalo.
It's Buffalo. It's Buffalo. But you take Buffalo out of the equation.
Except for yesterday, by the way. Buffalo had no answers yesterday for Jonathan Taylor.
I don't even know what they did. But
Jonathan Taylor had five touchdowns yesterday, four on the ground, one in the air, and the Colts kicked Buffalo's ass. They didn't beat them. They kicked their ass. They punched them in the mouth and shoved the ball right down their throats, and they couldn't do a damn thing about it. It was impressive. Now they have a line.
Yeah. If you take Buffalo out of the equation, and outside of Tua's one bonehead pick per game, which has been consistent, and we don't know where the hell this is coming from, what's causing it.
He's young, bro. He's young. He's trying to force and make plays.
He's so much better than that. He's so much better than that.
When you give him a real line and a running game and everybody of the all the receivers are complimentary and all that, you'll see him make less mistakes. But when you're on a bad team, you guys sometimes will force the issue as a young player. Yes, Omar, that's the way it is.
He is so much better than that. You got to take that play out of it because that
Peyton Manning is a genius. His IQ is through the roof. He threw 25 interceptions his rookie year, my brother.
We're not a rookie.
Actually. Has he played 16 games?
Five. You win.
Okay.
You win. After next Sunday, he's no longer a rookie. You Amen. Win. That's fair. That is absolutely 100% fair. He is still a rookie. Jesus Christ. I can't even believe he still hasn't even played 16 games and he's playing like this.
And that's why the criticism is just over the top. But go ahead.
It is what it is, bro. The criticism is what it is, and I don't want people to feel sorry for him. Like, don't feel sorry for him. He's not a charity case. Tua will never have to work a real job ever in his life because
I still feel sorry for David Carr to this day, bro. And I'm not a Texans fan. I'm sorry. I disagree with you on that. I mean, I feel sorry for Steve Bartkowski. I feel sorry for Archie Manning. I feel sorry for Ernie Banks. I disagree with you. I'm a sports fan, and I've lived it. I felt sorry for Walter Payton until Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan came to town and changed everything for him. And he was just running into walls and carrying Bob Avellini Bob Avellini and what was the other guy? Vince something. They were terrible quarterbacks, dude. So this has happened over the history of time where good players go to places where there's dysfunction and you see Steve Young in Tampa and he looks like a disaster. And then he goes to Bill Walsh in San Francisco and their structure. So I disagree with you, bro. I do feel sorry for some players that do end up in situations that you knew that if their talent was placed somewhere else, they might've had a different career.
Everybody would have had a different career if their talent was placed somewhere. If Noah Igbinoghene had played for another team that didn't have two upper echelon cornerbacks, he probably would have had a better career. He probably would have a better career.
He might be already developed into a decent player. He might be out of the league. We don't know, but you're right. You're right.
But I don't want nobody. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for Tua. Tua's not a charity case. Tua's gonna have his chances, his opportunities. He's gonna, look at how much better he makes this line. The RPO makes this offense go. Why they can't run the RPO with Jacoby Brissett? I don't know. That's damn incompetence to me. But like, is Tua that magical in the RPO that it just doesn't even look the same? You change quarterbacks and you got to change your entire offense. Like,
yeah. Because mentally it's different, because athletically it's different, because Tua is a quick twitch athlete that he can make quick decisions and move. Brissett is slow. He's Byron Leftwiches.
I don't know if he's a quick twitch.
That's not a real word, but I kind of made it. So he's a little Byron Leftwich. And so he has this long ass delivery. And so what he reads and reacts, it's a lot slower than Tua. Tua reads and react quickly. It's like Marino. Marino had the radar and he'd find it quickly, boom, and the pass was there. You know?
I said this to somebody yesterday, and I truly, truly, truly do believe this and feel this. If you combine who Tua is as a quarterback with the body and arm of Ryan Tannehill, you'd have a top three quarterback in the league.
Oh, amen. There's no doubt in my mind. Amen.
Durability, body, and arm of Tannehill with Tua's accuracy, anticipation, quick decision-making, diagnosing skills, ability to read the RPO, it'd be unworldly.
That's right. Frankenstein would have a field day building quarterbacks in the NFL. It would be a beautiful thing. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly. Catch his work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Oh, as always, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for taking some time. We'll catch up later in the week.
All right. Talk to you later.
You got it. There you go. That's our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report.